Hi, this is Joanne Verkeilen, founder and co-CEO of Circle in Bloom, where we create programs for relaxation and guided visualization for all stages of fertility. Please check us out at circlebloom.com. Welcome to week two of our new series called How Einstein Would Get Pregnant, what we hope is going to be a fun and educational way to kind of shine a light on the role of how our minds and our brains influence our bodies and then ultimately our fertility. We hope that this is a collaborative learning experience, so your feedback, ideas, and experiences would be greatly appreciated as we move along. Last week in week one, we talked about the cells in our body, the 50 to 75 trillion cells that make up the existence in our body, and a brief definition of how they work and how our thoughts and emotions and experiences actually can influence how our cells change and how they can behave. So very interesting. I hope if you listen to this week two, you might go back and listen to our week one as well. But it's not necessary as a precursor to listening to this week. Now, this week, we intend to cover the role of the subconscious. And so we'll start by explaining what we mean by the subconscious and how exactly our subconscious is created through events in our life, and then therefore how our subconscious plays a role in the health and well-being of our bodies. Again, connecting back to week one subject, which was the cells and how our cells are influenced by our emotions and our thoughts. So with that said, let's first cover kind of the definition of what we mean by the subconscious. And you may hearken back to the days of your psychology 101 classes where you can remember what we learned about Freud and his theory about the layers of our brain, which and he talks about the subconscious and unconsciousness and, the id, et cetera. What we mean is actually much simpler than that. And it's everything essentially that our brains have remembered through the events in our life that we don't necessarily keep in our conscious memories. It's not something that right now, as we're thinking about what we want to accomplish during the day, the thoughts that run through our minds, the subconscious kind of always is there operating in the background and influencing our thoughts, as well as influencing how our thoughts are translated into our bodies. So let me explain that a little bit more. So the subconscious is and what creates our pre-programmed perception of a situation. So let me explain that again. Every single life event, and especially when we are young children, their brains are like sponges, and everything, from what your parents say to you and what you experience really gets stored pretty strongly into our subconscious. Bernie Siegel likes to say that kids are basically walking around in a trance-like state. Everything that you tell them is like directly saved into this software program that we can call our subconscious and stays with them unless, efforts are made to reprogram the subconscious. And so such information forms our perception of our current life events. And based on these memories, it can be good and bad. And perceptions are mindsets, thoughts that we have about a situation can also be sort of somewhat dangerous if you think about it. And this is a good example to think about how the subconscious really works. The, what we learned at a young age, and I talk about this a lot, is that our bodies and our minds are completely separate from one another. The idea that our bodies are kind of a disconnected vessel, it operates on its own. It is either healthy or not healthy, but that's its own decision almost. We have no influence over our own health. And I believe that that's a dangerous mindset. You hear stories of patients, for example, who improve, maybe they're patients who are in life-threatening situations, health situations, and they improve when they move to the more hopeful part of the hospital. Maybe there's a ward where there's younger people and they feel okay about their situation, and then they die when they move back to the hopeless ward. There's another study shown when children are, you know, maybe they're fed and cared for on a basic level, but they are not held or cared for or cuddled in any way, shape, or form, and they become victims of what's called failure to thrive syndrome. And again, you know, the fact that the mind and the body are not separate, and this is played out in institutions where babies without adequate cuddling again and stimulation are physically stunted in their growth. Now, I raise that so there's two layers of information here. One is that the idea of the mind and the body are not separate, but there's also the fact that we believe that on a fundamental level, most of us, because it's something that's in our subconscious. And everybody kind of plays that out. And according to Ellen Langer, who is a psychology professor at Harvard University, who wrote the book Mindfulness, which is a very fascinating book, chock full of stories about this. And, you know, she basically says that, you know, this can be a very dangerous mindset. So essentially, again, you know, if the events in our life, what we were told as children, is stored in what some researchers call, again, the software of our minds or the subconscious. And we don't even really sometimes know when we are in a situation or in a life event, when that event is quote-unquote mixed in with our subconscious. We don't even know that the subconscious is really acting upon our thoughts and our feelings. And so let me give you an example of this. If I were to see a red car driving down the street, for example, that's a pretty neutral thing. There's not, I don't think many people who would have a reaction to a red car driving down the street. However, if I was involved in a serious car accident with a red car, seeing that red car drive down the street in and of itself is a neutral experience, but it interacts with my subconscious, my fears, my experiences that brought about a very negative outcome, and therefore it mixes and it becomes a different feeling or a different association, which is then translated down into my cells, as we covered last week. So I can also tell you that, you know, many times when I was in sort of the depths of my, you know, trying to conceive stage, and it seemed like you would walk out the street and everybody was pregnant. And again, seeing someone pregnant, just like seeing the red car in and of itself, is not a big deal. It's neutral for most people. But of course, you mix it in with the situation that you're going through, your subconscious, which is saying, I'm not as good as them. They look at how beautiful they are. They're pregnant. My subconscious says that is very bad. And I get jealous. I get angry. And all of those negative emotions filter down throughout my entire being. And unfortunately, it becomes dangerous unless we do something to interact with that, something to reprogram our subconscious, to think about our situation and our life events differently. Just like the patients who moved to the hopeless ward and the negative reaction associated with that, a biochemical result in their bodies and in their cells caused them to die, even though a week earlier they were in a better part of the hospital that was more hopeful and they lived. So this is a study, by the way, that's in this book, Ellen Langer, again, the book Mindfulness. It's all on our blog, so you can read more about that. And she also actually reports about, again, the changing, she talks about changing our perception, or you can also think about your perception of a situation as your subconscious memory. And thinking about how we can change the perception, again, of the situation and how the brain and the body change as a result. She actually talks about this study. She has focused, I think, her career a lot on the effects of aging. And she did a study of patients that were living in a nursing home. and they did, you know, very strict study with a control group, and the experimental group was given choices, meaning every single one of the patients had choices over their lives. They had a plant in the, that they gave them in their room that they were told that they needed to take care of. They had choices as to what they would eat, what time they would eat, what time they wanted to go for walks. Essentially, their lives given back to them, and they felt in greater control. And that experimental group versus the group that was not in any level of control, everything was dictated to them. They studied them for about, you know, a few years, or I'm not sure exactly how long, but the rates of death were absolutely dramatically different. Actually, double the amount of people died in the group that was not given any level of control over their bodies. Again, changing the perception of the situation, changing the feelings, your subconsciousness, which is, I can do X, Y, and Z. I am able to do these things. And, you know, going back to, you know, how you talk to children and how they are, you know, essentially in this trance-like state, everything you tell them goes into their memory banks and their subconscious, you know, and it's very detrimental when you're negative to young children and telling them that, you know, things that you probably would never tell them, and I would never either, but things like, you know, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, and that stays with you, unfortunately. So I hope to cover next week how we can use this information. It's like, wow, this is great information about our subconscious and like how I can approach life differently, how I can think about and react to events in my life that are, one, more healthy, and two, gives me a modicum of control. And again, how this can all play a factor in our ability to become pregnant, our ability to reduce levels of stress, our ability to feel more in control over our fertility. So I hope next week to cover some ideas about this. And let me just give you one quick tease, if you will. Recently, I did an experiment on myself. I absolutely hate to work out. And I have an elliptical machine that I try to get on, you know, almost every day. And there's been a period of time, just like everybody else, I'm sure, that, you know, you wax and you wane on working out. So I said to myself, I am going to reprogram my reaction, my perception of working out. So I would get on my elliptical machine and half of my body was yelling at me saying, I hate this. I just want to get off. I want this time to fly by. But then consciously, I made the decision, I'm going to tell myself, literally speaking out in words to myself, I love this. While I'm working out, I love this. I love exercising. I love exercising. I love the way my body feels when I'm exercising, over and over and over again. And I will let you know next week, so I'll tease you as to how that has impacted my perception, my levels of interest about exercise. And it's just one example of how we can think about reprogramming our subconscious to be in greater control over our lives. So, and what are your experiences? We'd love to hear. What comes in as neutral? What comes in as seeing just a red car drive down the street, but then gets translated within your body as something scary, threatening, all based on past experience? I'd love to hear what your experiences are. So you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/circlebloom, or you can come back to our blog and comment directly on our blog post. Love to hear it. And again, check back next week for ways that we can apply this knowledge to really affect our lives. Thank you so much and have a great week.